Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. Your bulletin has announcements and also a calendar of all the great things happening here at GPC in this new year. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. So we've got some great announcements this morning. Eric, why don't you start us off?
Good morning. I'm Eric Vail with Public Worship. And if you look around the sanctuary this morning, this is the last time you see all these beautiful decorations. And the reason is because Tuesday this week at 5:30, we're asking for all your help to come and take everything down, box it up, tag it up, and put it away till next year. So 5:30 Tuesday, which is before mega meeting, and don't worry about dinner. We'll have pizza and drinks here for anybody that's worried about skipping dinner. So 5:30 Tuesday. Thank you.
Hey, guys. We're getting the band back together. So there's been some interest in making a small choir and doing some songs that are a little more contemporary. And if you're interested in coming to sing with us at the end of this month, it's a Fusion Sunday. We'll be doing some contemporary music. There's a sign up out in the kiosk, and we'll probably meet a couple times on a Sunday afternoon just to go over the music, and we're going to have the whole band here. So either sign up or come find me if you're interested. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. So, here's the deal. January 16th, 6 to 8:30, Jamaica Coffee House. It's going to be a really good time. Obviously, it always is. And I'm looking for talent. And I know that every single one of you in here is very talented. You can hula hoop. You can river dance, you can share your secret handshake that you have with a friend, even if it's lame. You can try your hand at stand-up comedy. I mean, it really doesn't matter what you do, but we would love for you to perform. There is a sign-up at the kiosk, and if you think of something through the week, you can message me on Facebook. If you can't get to the kiosk and sign up yourself, I would love to have you perform. Start thinking. If you can't think of any ideas of what to do, ask a friend, ask Melissa, ask myself. I am happy to give you ideas. Thanks, guys. Sure?
Yes, grown up. Yes, grown up.
And for those of you who are not so inclined to do something talented, tickets for the coffee house go on sale starting today in the fellowship hall. They're $5 each. Also, those of you who are interested in making desserts for the coffee house, there's a sign up on the kiosk.
Thank you. Frona, you can only dance on the tables if you can play spoons at the same time. And as our Jamaica travelers are getting set and ready for our trip in February, if anyone here has a large suitcase, I do need probably three or four of them. So if anyone has one that's pretty ratty and tattered but still closes, please let me know. All right, friends, let us now join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
Please stand and let us join together in the call to worship. You'll notice it's a little different this morning, just so we know who our right side and left side is. Over here, you're my right side, all right? Left side, over here. And we do have a section for children. Let's make that children and youth, anyone who is school age. You've got a line in there. Let us join together in the call to worship. Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We have come not to get presents, but to give them. I heard it. Lift up your eyes. Look around. God's people now gather together to open our hearts and sing out our praise.
The mystery of God's wonder and grace is here. Come, let us adore.
Good morning. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Holy One, we know King Herod was frightened and threatened by the birth of the Christ child. All of Jerusalem was frightened with him. We all act out of fear sometimes in our lives. We are afraid of losing our power, our identity, our privilege, all that we value. Fear drives us away from you and one another. Help us, O God, to move past our fears and to act out of love and light. God has brought us again to this place, where we can leave behind our confessions. And for these gifts of confession, God says thanks. Thanks for your honesty, your trust, your faith, your love. And the gift that God gives us this new year is a new journey with a child who grows and loves us and lives for us. Amen.
Symbols.
not the loud, banging, clashing kind, but the kind that when we see something, it represents or means something else. So I have some pictures for you. You guys need to help me out, okay? Because all those big people up there, they can't see it. What is that? A stop sign. So when you see this symbol, what does it mean you're supposed to do? Stop. Oh, you guys are good. All right. How about this one? McDonald's. When you see that symbol, what does it mean? Food. Lunch. Yum. All right. And for those who took very long car rides, sometimes it means a potty break too, right? Good thing. All right. What about that one? The Buffalo Bills. What? When you see that symbol, what does it mean? Yeah. Means there's a football team that's not doing so well. I know. All right. What about that one? What is that one? The American flag. What is that a symbol of? America, our country. Very good. I think I have one more. Oh, that's a good one. Peace. You see that and you know it means peace. So here in the sanctuary, we have a lot of symbols. There is one hidden right over there behind the Christmas tree. We'll see it again next week. What is that? You see on the floor there, what is that? The baptismal font. Wonderful. And if you go up higher, that thing I always hit my head on, what is that? The cross. And if we go over here, there's just a couple of us. So let's field trip. Ready? Up. Come on. Let's go over here. So if we go over here, what do we see on this table, my friends? What do we see? The bread and the cup, symbols of God's love and grace. And there's one more symbol that's on this table. What is that right up there? Right here. A candle. You heard Mr. Vail say that on Tuesday we're going to take down all the Christmas decorations. That makes me sad because all those bright lights are going to go away and tucked in boxes. But we have one light that stays on the communion table all year round, and it's a symbol of God's light and love that shines in each of us. Someday you come to church and you see that candle. It's a reminder and a symbol of God's love. You guys pray with me? Yes? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for symbols of your light and love. Amen. So you guys can go to Sunday school or back with your parents and family. Thank you, friends.
The first reading of the word today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them, when the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage.
Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Today, just a few days early, we are celebrating the Epiphany of the Lord. Epiphany means manifestation or vision of God. And it is the day that we celebrate, as we heard in the first scripture reading, the Magi coming to see the Christ child, God made flesh, God in human form. And we talk a lot and sing a lot about the Magi on this day. But when we only focus on them, we miss a really crucial part of meeting God for the first time on earth, seeing God in the light. The whole story is marked by light. The Gospel of John says that when Christ was born into the world, what came into him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. Which brings us today to our passage from the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes. Look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord on this Epiphany morning. The call of the prophet Isaiah in this passage is spoken to encourage a very disheartened and dispirited people to see God's transformative light coming just over the horizon and to imagine that when the light breaks over Zion, the city will be radiant, filled with the glory of God. Metaphorically, the light is the power of God to break through their darkness, through their increasing despair. The people have returned from exile. They are home in Jerusalem, a home they have never seen but only heard about. Now, instead of the golden city, here they are met with famine and poverty, the darkness. Isaiah offers a vision to the people of what will be. He invites these weary people to stand in the imagined future in which suffering will end, honor will be restored. He prepares his people to see God's light by envisioning it with them. Here, God's day is dawning. Light is being restored to their weary world, and their hearts shall thrill and rejoice. For the light is the hope of the people. But they are still struggling to see it yet. They're living in that darkness and despair. So the prophet, his job here is to help them to imagine it by imagining the light. But when it's been dim for so long, it's difficult to see. They must use their imaginations. We don't often speak about the power of theological imagination or the work of hope in our lives. This is not frivolous fantasy, what we may or may not see in a movie or read about in a book. This is something entirely different. Comes from deep down. It's not in our head. It's not even entirely in our heart. It comes from this place where we reach down deep and grab courage, faith, wisdom, to imagine and call forward the world that God desires us to make. A world in which the light of God radiates through all of us, as individuals and as a people. But when we let that light in, or if we are immersed too far in the darkness, we can imagine the light within. Our hearts are changed. And we do it all the time. Think about that moment. That moment on Christmas Eve when that first candle is lit, and then the next, and the light spreads throughout the world, throughout the room, and literally the world as communities gather together and light their candles for hope and peace. The symbol of the Christ child, the light of the world that has been born into each of our hearts. And yes, comes that moment when we blow out the physical flame. And so it's not there in our hands any longer. We talk about the ways in which we carry it with us, that flame that burns bright inside each of us. For the Magi this morning, that light appeared in the sky at the birth. They had to observe it, to not only see it in the sky, but feel it deep within. The courage, the faith, to cross the deserts for months to find the child of that starlight. In the book, The Heart of the Hunter, Lawrence Vanderpost describes this perfectly. A poignant scene in the midst of the Kalahari Desert. There he is, camped with some local bushmen, and they're sitting around a campfire. If you've ever experienced those moments where there is no light pollution, no artificial light at all, where there is complete darkness, and you look up and you see the stars. There he saw the stars hanging so low in the sky, they touched the horizon. They were so bright, you could not just see them. He describes how you could hear them. Vanderpost describes the sounds of the stars as this intense electric murmur at one's ears. And in the darkness, he could see a bit of a shadow, an outline of a woman holding her infant up to the stars. And she's singing some kind of chant and has her face lifted to the sky. And when Vanderpost asked the local bushman what the woman was doing, he was told that she was asking the stars to take the heart of her child and to give the child something of the heart of a star in return, because the stars have heart in plenty. He went on to learn that the heart of the stars is a hunting heart, one that seeks with courage and finds nourishment which is needed for life. And when I read this, I think about all of us who have been in the darkness. I think about our own hearts and how when we allow the light of God to enter our hearts, it is as though we have a child within us coming to birth. But what do we do with this Christ child born in our hearts that we talk so much about this time of year, lighting our way in such an appropriate time to be in the darkness, the days getting longer, but just a little bit each day? For each of us, this child may be a new way of living or loving. Not talking about New Year's resolutions, but a deepened sense of who we are, who God is calling us to be, who God created each and every one of us to be. A ripening of this sense of self, of glowing, a wisdom that comes only from the darkness, from the grieving, from the suffering and difficult times. If only we could, as the bushwoman did, take this child within us, trustingly hold up whatever is waiting to be born in each of us, asking for this newness to be blessed with the heart of the stars. Each of us could pray for that hunting heart, for the courage to live with trust and faith, believing that what we need for ourselves to live, to really live, will be given. Arise, shine, your light has come, we sing. Indeed, we are celebrating the end of the Christmas season. We will pack all of these lights and symbols of the Christ child away. But Epiphany, the light, this season of light is just beginning. It continues on until Lent, which I've had more than one reminder is early this year. But no matter how short the season is, we have this time now to reflect on the ways that each of us will take, whether it's just a little baby step or just all in, to experience the light of Christ that has come to each of us, that has been born into our hearts, to feel the shining of God's love. And we will carry our greatest treasure then within us, a piece of light, God's light, that will shine forever, a radiance which is always lighting our way home. Let us trust this light, the light of God. May it be so. Amen.
We come no matter how much darkness we feel within ourselves or in the world. We come because the light shines and invites us all here. There is a place for each and every one of us at this table, because the invitation is not one that comes from one person or denomination or faith tradition. It comes from our Lord. It was our Savior who first invited those to trust him, to share this feast which he has prepared. And according to the Gospel of Luke, when he was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you. Our hearts are ablaze. Let us come and kneel down once more. In that first moment you spoke, radiant God, and the light of creation dispelled the thick darkness of chaos. You whispered and your glory filled the skies. You sang and the dust of the earth was shaped into your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endures, for as long as the moon hangs in the night sky. But we were tempted by the sweet taste of sin and overwhelmed with temptation's wealth of cheap gifts and thrills. The prophets were sent to tell us of your gifts of joy and peace. But we listened to the world's news of success, power, and achievement. And finally, in that dark time of despair, you sent the light of your love.
Beneath a fiery star of wonder and royal light to seek the treasure of their hearts. Kneeling in a stable, they found the gift they sought. In this Epiphany season, we also set out seeking signs of your presence and remembering how this child of Bethlehem broke bounds of oppression to pour our passion for all. The song of our hearts longs for you too.
Guide us to heaven.
We remember, O God, you call for our lives to reflect your light in the world. In these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place and on the gifts of the bread and cup. Feed us with the bread of hope so that when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, to speak with the voiceless, to assist those cast aside. Refresh us with a cup of grace, so we, overwhelmed with joy, would go forth to enter the house of the strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and forgotten, to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. While we do not always understand what it means to travel a different path, we go as your disciples, learning from your life, your teachings, your light that shines in this world. We remember this final meal where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life. Here is promise. You are my beloved. Here we are sharing in your story and your light.
We remember your life, your words, your love.
As we share this bread and cup, may we open ourselves to the strength and brightness of this love. Amen. And friends, we give thanks that Jesus gathered his friends around a table, much like we gather around this table. He did so on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, so that they and we might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. So he took the bread, common bread, made it holy. Just as he takes us, common people, and makes each and every one of us holy. To remember, He asks that we repeat this act again and again, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, knowing that we could not live by bread alone. A cup of promises for new life. It's poured so that we might remember the sight, the sound, the smell. This is the cup of forgiveness, shed for each and every one of us. And we do this in remembrance of him. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. This morning we're going to celebrate communion by intinction. So if the communion servers would come forward at this time, it's all right, I'll keep explaining as they move. We're going to have four stations. There will be one on each end of the communion table. We will have one up here by the pulpit, and we're going to have one back by the soundboard, so back to that corner. Locate whichever communion station is the least busy or whatever one you want to go to. That's completely up to you. And for persons with some mobility concerns, just sit tight. We'll make sure that communion servers come over and visit with you. And if by chance we don't see you, please wave your arm frantically and we will make sure we come over and get you. We don't want anyone to miss because this is the feast of the people of God. Let's celebrate together.
I'm free.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to reflect your light in this world. Amen.
We continue our time of worship with the prayers, prayers of joy, prayers of concern that you have and would like to lift to this community to pray together. As you saw in your bulletins, they were printed long before Christmas, so if you have new prayers of joy, prayers of concern, we'd ask for you to share them.
Bill DeCero, I'd like to have continued prayers for my mother. She was sick and in the hospital on Christmas Eve and went through some procedures and was discharged this past week, but is still very tired and recovering. So I'd like to request some continued prayers. Thank you.
I would like to ask continued prayers for my mother-in-law, Pat Tripoli. She also was in the hospital over the season and is home and is recovering. So prayers of continued healing.
Tammy Tackling. I have my best friend I've known for like 50 years. It's a long time. She lost her nephew to a battle of cancer earlier, a few weeks ago, and now his mother, her sister's in the hospital, so prayers for their family. Thank you.
Prayers for that family. I saw a hand over here and a hand over here. The eyes in the back of my head aren't working today. So. Yeah.
Christine Cook, I asked for prayers for a friend of mine, Sarah Cronin. She's in the hospital now with several GI issues. Kind of keeps going back and being sent home and then being sick again, and just prayers that things get figured out and the family can kind of move on from there.
Good morning, Cam Mossgraber. I have prayers of joys and concern. My daughter, Jennifer, and her boyfriend made it to their new home, and we were able to visit them. They are living in St. Louis. While we were there, when they said it rained for 5 days, it poured. It was torrential. On the way home, on the way out, we went through tornado warnings. On the way home, as we drove through Illinois, the state is inundated, and that was Monday, and the worst hasn't come yet. There were places on the interstate that we had to get off because it was flooded. Please keep anyone south of St. Louis in your prayers. It's very, very dangerous time and a very hazardous time for them.
Prayers for all those living through the flooding and other natural disasters. I got not seeing any other hands, I got a Facebook prayer request, not just now, but last night, from Brandon Faulkner, who is back in North Carolina, and as he continues his training, he asks for prayers for him. So, prayers for Brandon this morning, and from our children this morning, prayers of joy for the Christmas holiday, prayers of concern that it's almost over, and prayers of joy for new dolls and Lego guys and sketchbooks, for the dinosaur movie, and for making it to church. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we come to you in a time of coldness and darkness, looking for warmth and light. There are those whose homes are physically freezing. There are those whose lives are spiritually chilly. We know that we can help warm people's homes. We also know that you are the one who warms people's lives. We pray that there will be no more gloom for those who are living in anguish. We pray you lift away people's burdens. We pray you remove the things that oppress from people's lives. And we pray for you to give courage to those who fear. Lord, your light calls us forth to follow and serve you. Your light shines for all the world to see. May we continue to reflect your light in our lives, in our service, our words, our deeds. In the name of your Son, who shown us your light and love, and who also taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship with the morning offering.
Gracious God, we praise you, for you are the source of our hope. When our hope falters, your Spirit lifts us up to new heights. Help us to set our hearts on you and to trust in you, no matter what our circumstances. May these offerings bring you uplifting hope to people both near and far. We ask this through Christ our Lord, our great giver of hope. Amen.
We're only doing verses 3 through 6, I believe is what it says. So 3 through 6.
Thank you.
friends, we go forth with the light of God shining from each of our hearts. Go with that light, that love. The Christ child is here. Let us celebrate. And with the courage, the trust, the faith, everything we need in this new year to live as God's children, let us go. Alleluia. Amen.